This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Hey, I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the St. Jude kids. St. Jude's doing incredible work fighting childhood cancer. And because of donations like the ones that you give, families never receive a bill ever from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, food, none of that. Help St. Jude stop childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope. Get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. It's going to look great on you. So join all the doctors, researchers, and me in this fight. All right, text the word Bobby. It's only 6 numbers to 785-833. Again, text the word Bobby to just these 6 numbers, 785-833. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. You know, before they were legends of outlaw country, they were lost souls looking for their sound. Don't miss Mandy Moore and the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the rise of outlaw country music and its biggest stars. Hear how one woman's vision in her tiny living room, far from Nashville's Music Row, became the epicenter of a musical movement. Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in The Boar's Nest. Listen now at audible.com/The Boar's Nest.
Me, I always feel like it's the best feeling in the world to apologize or admit that you were wrong.
Episode 442 with Sarah Evans. Number one's like crazy. How about, man, it's hard for me to sing because I was just singing different songs in my head. Suds in the Bucket. You got the suds in the bucket and the bucket, da da da. Or A Little Bit Stronger. I don't sing hers very good.
That's it, though.
Yeah, I don't want to do any more of hers, but Born to Fly was a big one. No Place That Far, still like great as a vocalist. Her new single is called Pride, which comes out next week. This week, when
tomorrow.
Is this going out?
So it'll as come out tomorrow, yeah.
When this is played, it's going to be out tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Boom. Okay, that's how you know we're not live right now. Also, because it's a podcast. Yes. So she has a podcast as well called Diving Deep with Sarah Evans. And she gives listeners and fans insight to her career, her family life, special guests. Her new album, Unbroke, comes out June 7th. Her tour is happening now through the middle of September. And I will say, in one of the most awkward / beautiful / oh my God, I hope she's not hurt moments. We have antique furniture in this room, these two chairs. And I guess, I don't know if it had to be our fault. Nobody's ever fallen before, but somebody probably just didn't say, hey, I'm just going to take the blame. It's me. It's all me. But she sat down and our chair is old and stupid.
Yeah.
And she dumped over before the interview started.
It was quite the sight.
It was. And she like bounced back like a champ and like started giving me crap. And I think it made our friendship a little bit stronger. Yeah. Sarah Evans, episode 442 of the Bobbycast. So you have a podcast, and on your podcast, you should talk about how I have furniture here that you is the trick furniture.
I've already texted my producer and said the next episode we're bashing Bobby Bones,
and that's okay. So for the we have a chair, and apparently the chair and the back. That okay? Fair.
Can I cuss on your show?
Yeah, why not?
Go. Okay.
Let me have it. Amen.
No, I'm kidding.
And the thing is, the chair dumped over. She dumped over, but she saved her coffee somehow.
It was amazing.
Like that to me, of all of it, was the most amazing part.
Well, here's what you don't know about me. I'm a great athlete, and
I do know that about you.
Yeah, and so I handled it all. I mean, you should have seen what my muscles were doing. It was just they were all working, holding the coffee.
It was she wiped out, and the coffee above her head still pointed in the direction of up.
Yeah.
And it was like a whole new respect for Sarah. Like when she walked in, I was like, "Sarah, good to see you. I already know everything about you." Because usually I like prepare, and I did. But as I was looking at the prepared notes, I was like, "I already know all this stuff." And then she said, "Oh, it's good." And she tumbled.
But it was graceful.
And she fell backward.
It was graceful.
And then I was like, "Oh God!" But then I saw her holding the coffee above her head, and I was like, I'm so torn on what to feel right now.
I'm dying of embarrassment, honestly, because my legs were straight up in the air.
But you have pants on.
Thank God.
So that does.
I almost didn't wear pants, like nothing.
Wow.
I almost just wore this shirt, these boots.
Winnie the Pooh. Full Winnie the Pooh. You're gonna come over to Winnie the Pooh. I felt that. Okay, so
I can walk here. I'm walking home, actually.
Here, do you live close enough to walk home, really?
Uh huh.
Like, but you could. It's a busy road out there.
Yeah, there's no sidewalks, and
that's dangerous.
The way my day is going so far.
Yeah, you definitely.
I should just drive home.
We got a lot to talk about with Sarah.
Yes.
We're gonna talk about the new song in a second, because rarely do I just go, I need to know about this song, because I feel like generally that's a pretty cliche question to ask. However, what I'm going to ask you is, I need to know about this song.
Yeah.
Because it feels like there's a lot to it that is about you intimately, and as much as you want to share, I want to hear, if that's fair.
Absolutely.
Now, why I'm so interested and entertained by you, so tell our audience about the podcast.
Well, the podcast is something I've been wanting to do for a long time, because I've been on stage since I was four. I grew up singing in bars. When I was 6 years old, I was watching drunk people two-step singing, I'm having daydreams about night things. You know, I'm six years old.
Six.
I'm like, what am I singing about? Or House of the Rising Sun, about hookers. Like,
wait, that's the animal? House of the Rising Sun's about hookers?
Yeah, it's about hookers.
There's a house in New Orleans.
I didn't know
they
that.
Call the That's about hookers?
Or a house.
I'm just being... Careful.
I can play.
I want you to know I am stunned, but I'm not moving because of the chair.
I can play the song. I've sang the song.
It's
I did not
hookers.
Know.
It's a whorehouse.
Yeah. Hey, you know what else is? Hotel California.
It's been the run of many a girl, and God, you know I'm one. And I'm 8 years old singing this song.
Well,
you know?
I'm 37 when I was singing it about being a hooker.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're a kid. These songs are you're hearing them and it's natural.
And it's natural.
Normal.
So the podcast, I've always wanted to be that person that shows all sides of who I am.
We just saw them all when you fell. We saw every side of it.
So you saw all sides.
Yeah, literally, physically. Yeah, yeah.
And tell the fans that I have on cherry pants, which is funny because I think
Okay, here we go. Hey,
oh
my goodness.
That's three beeps. That's three beeps so far. So you are wearing cherry pants. She's not lying about that. But you did fall gracefully.
Thank you. Anyway, so during my shows, I like to talk to my audiences, especially the smaller, like, evenings with, you know, tours that we do. And they're, like, in theaters, 2,000-3,000 people, where I can talk to the audience and be kind of... because I'm kind of a comedian on stage, where the really huge shows, you can't do that. So I've always been the person who wants to do more than just sing, because I know that I'm
you can provide more than what the expectation is based on what they know about you.
Yeah. And I know I'm a great singer and songwriter, musician, mm-hmm. and that's my gift. But my gift is also, I grew up in a family of seven kids. I'm the third oldest. And so... I also have that old-fashioned humor. I grew up on a farm in Missouri, and so I always say I have that old-fashioned, like, you know, Reba kind of Dolly Parton sense of humor, and a lot of times that doesn't come across, you know, with such serious pictures as this one.
Yeah, you do look like one of the cool housewives in this promo picture.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, the glasses look very expensive.
Yeah.
You got the fur on. Looks like a llama, I'm guessing.
It's a
blue llama.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, I'm on a llama, but it looks like I'm wearing...
Oh, so the llama's around your neck. You're not even wearing it. You're naked.
Right. Got it. Yeah.
But you are funny, and you are my favorite kind of funny, which is cutting funny. Mm-hmm. Because it's like you DJAF. You don't care if it's the joke and somebody happens to slightly be hurt. You're like, no, it's a joke.
Right.
Like, I like that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I like it when people aren't nice.
I like it when people don't take things too seriously.
Yes.
You know, it's like such bullshit, like that's the fourth bleep.
No, we're good. We bleep all day. Raise finger works.
Woke up white trash today. I mean, that is just me. I'm kind of hurt though right now.
Okay, she's grabbing her body.
Anyway,
she's suing me.
There are parts that hurt,
And she broke my fancy
not
chair.
Not just from the chair.
So we're going to call
it. It's not broken. Okay, so anyway, podcast.
You're
so
funny.
I've been wanting to... do that. And then also, just to be honest with you, you know, I have three kids, and my youngest just turned 19, and then I have 21 and 24. And they all, like, it's weird because I've always been an obsessive mother, you know, like I'm just obsessed with my kids and took them with me on the road everywhere I went. The two older ones are musicians, and they really need me now kind of more than ever in their early 20s. And especially right now, because the world is a really tough place to try and move out of your parents' home and become an adult in this economy. And this, you know, it's just like everything's so expensive. So I find my kids going, God, I mean, I go to the grocery for a few things. So part of the reason to start the podcast and some other things that we're doing is so that I can come off the road a little bit more and be home more and be more present. Not that any of my kids are living with me. I mean, they're all living on their own, but I just want to kind of be home more. So the podcast to me is a way to, and I'm still going to sing on the podcast, but it's actually really, really funny. And
you get to, as a podcast, and how funny you are, honestly, people can learn about you in long form,
right?
Which is the greatest, because that's where the real relationships are made, at least like our audience, right?
Right.
You know, we're on in like 400 cities live, but our podcast, like, people come and they come to us for a reason. They purposefully come and download and stream, and hopefully they feel like they have a relationship with us because we share so much. We relate, or we don't relate, or it's fun. But I think you're perfect for that because, again, you have, one, you're super vulnerable, but you're also really funny, and that's a hard juxtaposition to balance just right, where you can be serious, but you can also bust somebody's chops at the same time. That's why I think it's a place where you're thriving.
Yes. And my humor is never meant to hurt, you know, hurt your feelings, like you mentioned earlier, but it's more about, you're the same way, just trying to make people laugh. And people are funny. You know, I think it's fun to point out funny things that people do. Like last night we were somewhere and we were listening to my album, and there was a person there, and she decided, I'm just going to go for a piece of cake.
I know you're new to the microphone thing, but you have to talk in the microphone when you do that.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I'm so sorry.
She was doing a whole physical bit again.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So she was reaching for a piece of candy, and during the beginning of this most serious song that we're going to listen to, and I'm going to explain it to you, it was like, trying to get the candy open. And finally, I was just like, I have to stop and point this out. And it probably humiliated her, but
it was worth it.
But her,
and she'll love it later.
She wasn't raised well because I would never let my kids open a piece of candy during a song.
You know, a weird thing to teach them, because I never think that would come up, like no candy during songs, but I definitely feel that.
Yeah, it's...
And she'll always have that memory of being in the front row and being roasted by
Sarah Evans. Humiliated me. Yes. Yeah, she's happy that I fell today, I'm sure.
Yeah, I wish it gets us to her, whoever that is.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, now, to be able to switch from that, because I want to go to Pride.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is something that when I listened to the song, I was like, holy crap. Like, here you are, guts and all.
Yes.
Going, I want to... You know, I have a thought of it, but I want to hear it because it does feel very personal. Tell me about Pride and why you decided to put so many personal feelings and thoughts into it.
So, you know, my life has been on display since I got my record deal with RCA at 24. And I went through a very public divorce after having three small children. My baby wasn't even a year old when I filed for divorce. I was on Dancing with the Stars during that time. So my life has always been a very open book, and in some ways, but then in some ways I've been able to maintain some privacy. A lot of that is because we raised the kids in Birmingham, Alabama, in Mountain Brook, which is close to Birmingham. So I divorced my first husband. That was so public. There were so many lies told and just, you know, how it goes. I mean, rumors and people think they know. And so then I married Jay. We had a really, really fast courtship. You know, we fell head over heels, madly in love, so much passion, so much, you know, love for each other. And just, you're my best friend, you're my person. And I just couldn't believe that had happened to me, because I also spent my childhood from age 12 on chasing after my father, because he was a great person, but a terrible divorced dad. And so I definitely have, you know, quote, daddy issues. And so I'm always thinking wrongly about what love is and what I deserve. Also, being one of seven kids and being the one who made it when all my siblings are musically talented, they're great. I've always had a sense of guilt that I carry for why did I get rich? Why did I get famous? Why did I, and not my siblings. But at the same time, I'm the one who worked my ass off for it.
And strategy, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot to it, yeah.
Left home, I mean, that's what Born to Fly is about. That song is about me leaving home and loving my home, but knowing that I've got to leave my family, come here and do this. And one brother that came with me, and he became just as successful as a musician. So there's all that going on in my head. I meet Jay, and he is so attentive. He's so, you know, buying me gifts all the time. And like I said, our courtship was very fast. Our first date was October 3rd, and we were married in June of that same year of 2008. So there's a song on the album called Mask where I talk about, you know, you weren't him, meaning you weren't my ex-husband. So that's what drew me to you, because you were the opposite of that. What happened is Jay, he has his own set of issues like we all do, you know, psychologically. And so I grew up very old fashioned, like I said, on a farm in Missouri where, you know, women are submissive to their husbands. Women do all the, you know, in domestic work, although my mother worked out on the farm as well on a tractor all the time. But my granny, for instance, who was my idol, was just dote over my papa and all of us. And so that's what I grew up thinking, you know, you've got to be this way. And I also enjoy that because it's a good juxtaposition of being famous and then
like
serving
now,
your
now
family.
You enjoy it because it's so crazy on one side that you need that balance. But
yes.
Then your only model was that, it sounds like. Like growing up, that was the only model you knew.
That was the only model I knew, yes. And on the road, if I wanted my tour manager to find me a brown and white spotted cow and sit it in front of the bus just so I can look at it all day before my show, like he would have to do that.
A live one?
A live one, yeah, for sure. I wouldn't want
rocks.
Him to be dead.
I should do that. No, like a plastic one's what I meant, not a dead one.
A real one.
No, okay, yeah, I got it.
A
got
real
it.
Cow, yeah. I mean, whatever I wanted. If I wanted it to be plastic, he would have to do that because I have a team. And so at home, I like to be like Hannah Montana. I'm Hannah Montana here, but at home, I'm just Sarah and mom and wife. And I think I have always felt the need to really make up for, you know, being doted on the way I'm doted on.
Hang tight. The Bobby Cast will be right back.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah, that's what the whole store basically is, fresh leather,
yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com.
Tecovas.com.
Tecovas. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How did the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as the Boar's Nest, Sue's Place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Bachrach as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest. Sue Brewer and the birth of outlaw country music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest.
And we're back on the Bobbycast.
Do you feel guilty that you're so celebrated outwardly everywhere with people that don't really know you?
Mm-hmm.
They know a little bit about you, but you know, you play a show, it's happy. For me, it was a struggle. I'd play a theater, do stand up. I'd be like, I'd go back to my room by myself. And I'd be like, well, I'm here by myself and this kind of sucks now. But now at home, now I got married 2 years ago, but now I have a wife. And like I come home and I gotta friggin' load the dishwasher and I hate it, but at the same time it actually makes me value what's important.
Yeah, keeps
like
you humble.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's like drags me back to the real things and it helps me evaluate life a little more.
Exactly.
So you're dealing with that.
Yes. Thinking and you know Jay struggled with he played football at Alabama. He was the quarterback, won the national championship in '92, went on to play in the NFL. Played for the CFL. He's been concussed severely 7 times.
That he knows about.
Yeah. Twice where he was.
Be careful in that chair, sir.
Careful. Twice where he was unconscious. And then he, in the same way that I have father issues, he also has mother issues. And his father passed away when he was very young, when he was in the Columbine, actually, for the NFL. His dad died of a heart attack. His dad was his best friend, his, like, kind of protector against everybody who wanted to get at him for being the national championship quarterback at Alabama, which was like Elvis down there. So when he met me and realized that I was super submissive and, you know, total family woman and that the career was just my job, but I didn't let it go to my head and all that. He just, you know, would brag on me and like, you're the best mom I've ever met. I can't even believe what a great mom you are. Your children are fabulous. You're such a great person. You're the best singer in the world. Like just so, you know, all things that are true, by the way, but, he treated me like a queen. And he had also never drank until he was in his mid-30s. Because when we were dating, I was like, really? You've never drank? And I'm not a big drinker. Like, my kids have never seen me drunk. But I was like, well, what do you do at the beach? Like, that's weird. And
I've never had a drink. That's why I hate the beach.
You've never had a drink?
Uh-uh.
You've never drank?
No.
Okay, that's how Jay was when we met.
And I hate the beach. Because what do I do at the beach?
Right.
Yeah, maybe that's why I hate the beach. Because I'm always like, I don't like the beach.
We're so much alike.
Yeah, I was like, I've never had a drink of alcohol. Because I come from drug abuse and alcohol abuse.
Uh-huh.
And I don't understand the beach. That makes sense for the first time ever.
Yeah.
Because that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Drink.
We've made so many like.
Yeah, no, we're best friends now.
We're best friends.
Yeah.
We are. So I probably won't sue you now, but anyway.
I'm still going to sue you for the chair, though. But anyway, go ahead.
It.
Yeah, continue on.
So then he tried alcohol, and alcohol isn't good for him. It does run in his family
on his mother's side,
but he never experienced because his grandfather passed away when Jay was really young, so he didn't ever see that side of his mom's dad being abusive and being an alcoholic. So I think that, and Jay also has ADD really bad. Like I said, he's been concussed so many times. So I always say that he's an amazing man who made some really, really bad decisions. So after a little while into our marriage, abuse came into our marriage. And I didn't want to put my kids through another divorce. I was so in love with Jay and it takes a long time before you realize what's going on. Like, am I being abused, or was that verbal abuse? Or, you know, you kind of, but at the same time, you know, you just kind of want to hope that it changes. Or then I began what they call like managing his behavior, trying never to be, you know, too big for him, like as far as, because I have a big personality. And so I noticed a lot of things about myself were changing to suit him and to make sure that he was always happy with me.
I mean, it sounds a bit like you're falling into a codependency place just so
yes,
you two could function in your mind mm-hmm. in the most healthy way.
That is exactly right. I'm very codependent. And part of it is having six siblings. So I've never been alone. I've never, you know, I don't think I've ever went through a time in my life where I was sleeping alone or living alone, because it was either always a sibling or a spouse. And so, and I got married very young the first time. So once you realize, then the process for me was I started reading everything about anything I could get my hands on, like, you know, what does this mean when this happens? And that really started getting my mind going into, you know, this is bad. Like what we're dealing with is bad. But it never ever happened in front of anybody. The kids didn't know. He never even so much as looked sideways at them, raised his voice to them. He is an amazing father, and he's an amazing husband and an amazing person. But alcohol, I just don't think goes well with his chemistry, makeup, or whatever. And alcohol makes me happy. Alcohol makes him and a lot of people like angry. And I notice that a lot of people, when they are drunk, they sort of, and you are not a drinker, so you'll know this too, but don't you notice that person that kind of comes for you when they're drunk? You ever seen that?
Well, now at this point, I have a bodyguard, so I just say, get that guy out of here. Mostly, I would see that
emotionally.
With family.
With family,
especially.
And friends, yeah.
Yes.
They come for you when they're drinking or drunk.
And then you're like, well, do you really feel this way? Like,
yeah.
Do you really resent or not like me, even though I feel like we're close? Like,
right.
Where is that rooted from? Because I don't know what it's like to be drunk, so I don't know to just have a random emotion because of alcohol.
Totally. I mean, like, some people say they can only drink tequila because tequila keeps them happy all night long. And, you know, they can go. But, you know, like, for instance, my son and I always joke because we're so much alike. But if we go to a restaurant, like, in the afternoon and have a late lunch and we each get a Blue Moon, that beer Blue Moon, we both get in the worst mood. And we're both, like, grumpy. And I'm like, oh, my God, I have the Blue Moon grumpies. Like, it's terrible. He's the same way. And so that particular alcohol does that to me. It makes me agitated and easily irritated. So we got to a place in 2020 where, something really bad happened. We had a horrible fight, and I decided that we needed to separate. And the kids were all out of town. Avery was living on his own. Both my girls were at the beach, and it was over July 4th, 2020. So I finally just basically said, you know, I it sounds so disrespectful, but like I kicked him out. I mean, you know, I just knew that we were going to a place that was very bad. And so we stayed separated off and on for 2 years. And then January 17th of 2021, right? Or 22, he got arrested. And I didn't even know he had been arrested. We were across the street at our neighbor's having a bonfire, and we were walking back home across the street, and he was there. And I think he had gotten to that place where he was like so worried that I would move on, so worried that I would, quote, cheat, because we were still married. And, you know, nothing of the sort ever crossed my mind, because I was so in love with him, still am. But I just wanted him to change, and just, if you'll just stop doing that, then we have such a great life and family and marriage, and we have money, and we're great. Like, why are you deliberately risking such a beautiful, family and marriage, and together we have 7 kids and all that. So I think he was really, really worried that I was going to move on. And so he was there. He shouldn't have been there. He knows that. It was after 1 a.m. I mean, so
nothing, nothing good happens after.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. And so one of my children who was with me jumped out and started, you know, why are you here? Because after we separated, I started talking to them more and telling them more. I still didn't tell them everything, but I just said, you know, we've had a hard time. And they were shocked because they've never seen that side of him ever. And so my child called the police because, you know, she was scared, and police came, and we were like, it's fine now, he's gone. And I tried to text him, but I think his phone, it went in green, so either he blocked me or his phone died. And
what about an Android real quick?
To say what?
Quickly bought an Android phone. Could have done that.
He could have gotten an
Super
Android,
fast, which would have been totally weird. And lose it.
Dumbest thing
even
he's
made
ever
him a
done.
Bigger, yeah.
I mean, that would have caused me to go
just
through with the divorce.
Yeah, I felt that.
Yeah. But I couldn't get through to him. I was trying to say that we called the police, so you need to go back to your hotel and, you know, stay away. I was very worried about him. And so he came back a little bit later and the police were there. They said, well, we'll just kind of stay on your street, whatever. They arrested him. And so I woke up the next morning with all these calls from him, all these calls from my brother, different people. I had no idea that he had been arrested. And so I called a friend of ours and I said, you need to come up from Birmingham, get him out of jail, get him home safely, and we'll go from there, you know. So about 2 or 3 months later, he texted me and said, everybody says, well, let me back up. So during this time, I had started writing this record. And, you know, as you know, the artists start a year or two before, especially if you're going to try to write everything, which I do. So it's a long process leading up to it. I had been writing all these songs that were just really, really, really country and really sad and very like George and Tammy and Two Story House kind of songs. And then when that happened, that was like the lowest of lows because his whole family was mad at me, his kids, his mom, his sister, because everybody thought I had him arrested, which I did not. And then everybody thought that I was putting it out in the press, which I did not. I didn't say a word. We turned off all comments on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. And so a couple months later, he texted me and said, everybody says that I shouldn't talk to you. I shouldn't take this chance, but you are still my wife. You know, and that's kind of all he said. And that just like broke my heart because I was missing him so bad. And I think we both knew that we were meant to be together and we should be together, but we both knew that there was a serious problem. And he started realizing I've got a serious problem and I'm going to lose everybody if I don't get this figured out, if I don't change.
He hit his bottom.
That was his bottom.
For someone to have to change. My mom, an example. She ended up, you know, dying in her 40s because she was an addict. And but, you know, we would check her into rehabs, but she wasn't at her bottom. And she would be like, I can't. But it took her hitting her bottom. And tragically, she died, but she was never going to get better until she hit the point to go, I have to get better.
Yeah.
And it feels like that maybe was that for him.
Yes.
To go, I have to get better now.
Yes. I'm so sorry to hear that.
Oh, no.
About your mom. Yeah.
I mean, you can relate, so I don't mind talking about it with you. So it's but he hit a place that actually was bad, but it made him want to achieve a more healthier version for him.
Correct.
And for you.
Because he had always, you know, he had grown up in that Southern, like, we have to look great, and that's the only thing that matters is how we look as a family and what image we project. And so following the arrest and having to be in the court system and all that and deal with that, and I did not press charges. I mean, I didn't want him to, anything else to happen in that regard. And but he was ordered to do like this class and it was all on Zoom. He told me, he said, I thought I would go in there and just be like, this is ridiculous. I'm not like these people.
Like clock in, get through it, but not really relate or feel
I'm
like
not yeah, like, yeah, yeah, that's not like me. I'm, you know, and he said that he realized that he was one of the worst ones in there. And I think that's what, like, the arrest was his bottom, but then that was his real bottom, because that humiliated him, but in the best way possible. And then he's like, getting arrested was the best thing that ever happened to me. Because obviously you would hate every second of that, and 18 hours, you know, spent in jail, and you would just never, you know, want to go through anything like that again. So he started asking me, would you go to counseling? And at first I was saying no, because every time we had tried counseling, he wouldn't be honest. And he would look at the therapist and be like, see, this is what she does. You know, so it was always a waste. And so he agreed to do that and agreed to get his own therapist and then pay for my therapist and pay for everything for me. And there were some, you know, major, major things that he did for me that showed me that he really did, you know, love me and care about me and care about the kids. And obviously they're his kids. I mean, so he started therapy. I started therapy. We started therapy together. And for a year at least, he was renting a house up here just 5 minutes away. We would do our therapy and then maybe meet for dinner and just kind of slowly. And I was going to let the therapist guide me as far as what.
Yours or y'all's?
Both.
Got it.
You know, and then I made him come to therapy with me, and then I went to therapy with him. So I wanted to make sure he was telling his therapist the truth. You know, you can go to therapy all you want, but if you're sitting there lying, you know, there's no use, because they're not going to be able to really help you. And I think after doing that class that he had to do, he was no longer embarrassed about talking about it. He got accustomed to it. And that thing lasted almost a year, so that was really good for him. And it's great to come clean, you know? It's like, for me, I always feel like it's the best feeling in the world to apologize or admit that you were wrong. I think that's the best feeling in the world, and I think he feels that way too. So right after the arrest, I met with Matty Diaz and Sean McConnell, and I was going to write with them for the first time. I sat there and I said, well, I want to write a song about pride, because that's my husband's issue, is he's so prideful. He was raised to be prideful. And so I told him the whole story about the arrest. I was crying, and, you know, it was like this. I mean, and so every writing appointment would start off with me telling them for 45 minutes what's been going on. And every co-writer would be like, wow, whoa. Like, and then we would start writing. So we wrote Pride, and that there's always a center song for me on every album. And like Born to Fly was a center song. Suds in the Bucket was a center song for that album. I knew that this was the center song. This was going to be the song that we based the whole record off of. And where does Pride go? And so now that the album is coming out, so we've been in therapy for a year and a half, and we've been back together, living together since November. And so we will be in therapy till we die. And it's a miraculous change. And obviously it doesn't, statistically, that almost never happens. You know, it's very rare to end up where we are now. But I knew that there's a song on there called Mask that I knew that Jay was wearing a mask, and that if he would just take that mask off and feel free and vulnerable enough to just be who he is and not have to worry about what people think of him, that would help him so much, and that would have helped our marriage so much and saved us a lot of heartache. So the song Pride, I don't know if you want to listen to it.
I've listened to it. We're about to play it.
Okay, we'll play it, and then after we play it, then I'll tell you what I'd talked to Jay about before we released it.
Okay, we're going to play Pride. This is Sarah Evans. By the way, this song is there, but the whole record comes out in June, the whole body of work.
Yes.
So here's Pride from Sarah Evans. We'll come back with Sarah in just a second. Okay, that was Pride from Sarah Evans. Okay, now we've heard the song.
Mm-hmm.
Where do we go?
Well, And I asked Jay because, you know, Pride was written 2 years ago. I wrote every song but one on this record. So the whole album is just, you know, about our journey. But I said, if you want me to, I will change it to third person and make it like a story song.
So maybe he didn't feel like, I don't know, attacked or just defensive.
Defensive, yeah. Embarrassed.
Sure.
All of it, you know. And he said, absolutely not. You're not changing one word on the song. You don't need to worry about me because this is the truth. And it's a song that you wrote and probably the best song you've ever written. And everything about this album, this project, your podcast, everything needs to be honest. And he said, you know, how can I truly continue to get better and be a better man if I were to say, yeah, turn that song into third person so that I don't have to be embarrassed? You know, that's not doing the true work, you know.
It sounds like he learned accountability. Mm-hmm. And I've had to learn accountability in different ways, too. I have my own therapist, and my wife and I go to therapy mm-hmm. because we're both such – we need to not even get ahead of it. We just need to have maintenance.
Right.
And accountability in a big part of my life is a big thing that I've had to learn. Now, not career-wise, because I got all the accountability there, but personally. And it sounds like that was a big, big understanding and realization for him.
Yes, because people who struggle, I think and not that this is your reason for needing accountability, but every human being in the world is a narcissist to a degree, you know, because we all look out for ourselves and we all, like, that's my main goal in life is to not be a narcissist. And that's what I was talking about earlier about, you know, being famous and feeling that guilt. Like, why should people revere me when I'm just a farm kid from Missouri? But so I want to always make sure that I remember it's about the music. It's people don't know me, you know, they just love the music and that's what I want. They love the product that I'm putting out there. But people who struggle in any way, shape or form with narcissism, which could be a barely or a full blown, you know, psychopathic narcissist, it's hard to take accountability and say you're wrong because admitting you're wrong is to say you were right. And that's just kind of impossible for some people to admit, no, I'm always right. And I also think Jay's need to control everything is a, you know, it's kind of like when someone has an eating disorder, it's really more about control, like having control in your life. And he needs that a lot. That's what we're working on in therapy. And I don't know if y'all do this, but we only talk about therapy things in therapy, and then we leave it there, and we try not to talk about it later.
Yeah, so, and that's a weird thing for at first, because I'd never even really been on a couple. Like, I had never been engaged, never lived with anybody, never told anybody I loved them, because I was never told that growing up. And so my wife, I met her when I was 39. I was older to be married, and we got married. And so I've been going to therapy forever, but I'd never been to therapy with somebody else. Whole new experience. There's a whole level of respect you have to have for other people in the room that I don't naturally use day to day because we're just living our lives, bouncing around.
Right.
But in that room, we would go through things and then we'd start talking about it in the car, and we made the rule for 24 hours. We're not, even if he says, here's homework for you two, for 24 hours, we're not going to even mention even the homework if he gives it to us.
Yes.
Because we need that separation. And for us, that was so beneficial to us going to therapy together.
Because when you leave therapy, you're pissed.
You're triggered.
You're triggered. Yeah.
And you're supposed to be. That's what that room's for.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we try not to talk about it all until, you know, Wednesday. Wednesday's our therapy day. And so I'm a woman, so I can make a list in my head and remember it, you know, of all the things that I want to talk about. Because therapy is triggering me a ton because it's bringing up all the stuff that I was too afraid to talk about, you know, and I would worry leaving therapy. Like, he's going to be mad because I brought this up. Now I don't have that fear at all. I have no fear at all whatsoever of him. And so I think he is also so relieved that we're finally getting help and that we are normal. And part of helping him is me being normal too, though. Like you talked about my codependency. And so my therapy is teaching me, you know, why would you believe that's okay for anybody to treat you like that? And, you know, naming the reasons because, you know, my mom, she was not abusive in any way at all, except she just didn't allow us to speak our emotions. We're too busy. We're farming.
Probably she didn't learn how to speak her emotions.
She didn't.
Right? I mean, it wasn't that she was like, I'm going to shut them down. She's living the model that she was taught.
Yeah. She couldn't say, I love you, you know, until we were older. I think that's our parents' generation. I mean, one day I'd be like, how come you never say I love you too? And my mom is so funny. I mean, she's a comedian. And she would, you know, she would say, I love me too, like joking, but it would hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, we've, you know, and I'm sure I mean, my goal with children has been so like to make them feel loved no matter what and make them like every time they walk in the room, I smile and I, you know, genuinely just, they're just amazing people. And that's the best thing I've ever done in my life is those kids. And Audrey's in the video for Pride, by the way. You're going to die. She looks just like me. She's playing younger me. And so the video does like these parts where she's walking and then I'm walking and it's like the same person. And the video is great too because it's a very male-dominated world. It takes place in a strip club. And it's like I used to be a stripper and I'm watching my younger self. And like, why did you go down that road? Why did you make those decisions? And yeah, so the video is incredible. But anyway, the rest of the album as well is our journey. So I wrote this song called Unbroke and I called my middle daughter and I said, is this dumb? And because I started thinking about like, God, this studio is so dangerous for me.
Yeah, it's all the studio's fault.
Next time I'm wearing like...
Yeah, come in at like padded with those bubbles on you.
Yeah, I need
bubble
finger
wrap.
Pads.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, for sure.
So I said, is this dumb? Because I started thinking about generational problems and issues. And so the chorus says, she hurt you, you hurt me, we hurt all of them in one fell swoop. We all went down like dominoes. Yeah, nobody's heart gets out unbroke. Meaning like, you know, when you are doing something that's screwing up a dynamic in a family or you're choosing addiction or you're choosing abuse or you're choosing, you know, to gamble or whatever you're doing, like nobody in your sphere is going to get out of that unbroke. Well, we decided to name the album Unbroke because we're all back together now. You know, we've had so many conversations between him and the kids and, you know, me and his kids and that we do feel unbroke. And I'm so grateful to God for that. But then there's another song called I Want to Be Wrong that I just cried for 8 hours while we were trying to write it because it was me saying, I want to be wrong about you. I want, you know, so it's just our journey.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's an interesting way to express that emotion.
Because I wanted to be wrong about him. Like, just
I never want to be wrong.
Yeah.
Rarely am I ever. It's crazy.
Same. Yeah. But I did want to be wrong about him. Because me.
That's a really clever way to express that emotion.
Thanks. Well, when I leave, you can listen to it and you'll cry. It is so sad. It's just, I mean, relationships are so difficult. And I never, ever, ever thought, see, people are going to think that I said, this is what people are going to think, that I said I was in an abusive marriage. We went to therapy and boom, we're magically fine and we're back together. And that is the furthest from the truth.
And I think people will a bit be only because people don't have nuance anymore. Like we don't have the capacity to understand nuance, be it human life, political life. So yes, I do think, but that's not the case.
Yeah.
And that's not the case with your story.
Totally. You can't, I mean, the world is so weird right now that it can't even be satirical. You know, like everything is.
You get canceled. If I do any sort of satire and it goes, hits the wrong way, canceled. So you know what it does? It makes you not really do it as much anymore, which then hurts everything across the board.
Yeah. And that's control.
Yeah.
And that's what we don't want. We don't want to be controlled with what we say. And I don't want people to be so black and white when they hear my story, because I just said this yesterday. I say this every day practically, that it's nuanced. I mean, it's not just, you know, if my husband ever did that, I'd be gone. You know, no, you wouldn't. And you might say you would, but like, it takes, you know, years of building a family and a marriage and a love. And then you realize like, wait, something's wrong. And so people are going to criticize me for staying together. But this is my individual story. People don't know the ins and outs. I find it hilarious when people, you know, comment like, well, it's because he, you know, she, and I'm like, we've never met. You don't know anything about this situation other than what I've said publicly. So you can't draw anything from that other than what I've said.
Oh, they can, though.
But, watch them. They will.
Yeah.
The Bobby Cast. We'll be right back.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events. There is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com.
Tecovas.com.
Tecovas. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How did the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as the Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest. Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest.
This is the Bobby Cast.
Real life, a lot of times, manifests realization. Because once it happens to you and it becomes real life, then you realize, you know, maybe I was wrong about what I would or wouldn't do.
Right.
And it's you know, any time that I gain perspective on things, it's never because I wanted to. Perspective only gained through hard times. It's mm-hmm. not like something easy and fun happens where you're super successful and you're like, I got all this perspective now. No, that was easy. You don't gain a very valuable tool, which is perspective, which is empathy, which is through easy things.
That's right.
You gain that through real life.
Through real life and hard times. And it's like, I'm... You know, we're all supposed to thank God for trials. that we go through, because that's how we learn, and that means that we're being dealt with. And I'd rather be dealt with, you know, like I was an athlete all through high school and played softball, and I always remember coach saying, if I'm not talking to you, then I don't care about you and I don't think you're good. If I'm screaming at you, you know, so I want to be dealt with. I don't want to be ignored. And I want to learn from my mistakes. But so I don't want anybody listening to, look, if you're in a dangerous situation, you need to get out. Period. And I did. I mean, I got myself away from the situation. I filed for divorce. I did all the things. But we're working very, very, very hard. Stay together because we love each other very much.
Yeah. And all sickness isn't death. Mm-hmm. Every time you get sick, you don't die. And
that's right.
You know, even in relationships, be it friends, professional, whatever, there's always going to be, illnesses.
Correct.
You don't have to kill everything because of it.
That's right.
You can work through it. You can get healthy. You can understand why you were affected in a certain way.
Yes.
But I think that's really great for you to talk about openly, because yes, you will hear, oh, I can't believe it. But the people that aren't saying anything, they're the majority of folks who feel it, understand, and have those, I'm glad someone's saying it.
Right.
Because it's a very common, not your specific story, but your story, my story, our stories, they're very common.
Mm-hmm.
But people aren't walking around going, I got a story to tell about those.
Exactly.
Those aren't put on Instagram or Facebook, but it is extremely relatable, and it's extremely inspiring to see someone work through it, because it is very hard, and to see what you can do once you're on the other side. And to also see, it doesn't mean it's all good.
Right.
But it means it can be great without being always good.
Absolutely. And I agree with you about, you know, not all sickness ends in death, because, and I think we live in a world where people just want to kill everything, just kill it. If it's something that hurt your feelings, kill it. If it's something that rubbed you the wrong way or you don't think is right, just kill it, destroy it, knock it down. It doesn't exist. It never existed, or it should never exist again. And I don't feel that way. I mean, I believe in working hard on relationships, any relationships, like, you know.
Ours, for example, you broke my chair, and you know what? We're going to work through that.
Eventually we will.
We'll get through it.
Still,
I have a therapist that's going to, for us.
Well, mainly I just need
a
joint chiropractic visit would be fine.
And I need a woodworker to come in.
Yes.
That to fly in from France, because that chair.
It's going to be tough. But we're working together.
Absolutely.
So well.
All sickness is not death.
That's
even
right.
In this.
That's right.
Let's take a quick pause for a message from our sponsor.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct-to-consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events. There is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com.
TECOVAS.com. TECOVAS.
Yeah. Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson, how do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision, from One Tiny Living Room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as the Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Bachrach as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest.
Welcome back to the Bobbycast.
You got the record comes out in June, but again, Pride is out now. I do want to ask you, because I've taken up an hour of your time already, but I have a couple other questions I want to ask you about. Because you've been so open. Thanks for being so vulnerable and generous with that story, first of all.
You're welcome.
Because that's hard to do, but also I think the reward that others are going to get from it is massive. But I do want to talk for a second about Dancing with the Stars. You mentioned Dancing with the Stars.
Mm-hmm.
How was that experience for you? As a show, not what you went through at the end. Like, as a show, why did you do it, and how did you feel about doing it?
I had watched the first season, and I loved it. I thought it was so cool. Then we were doing CMA Fest, and I was playing the stadium, came off stage, went back to my bus, and the producer of Dancing with the Stars was on my bus, talking to my manager, and so I said, hey, nice to meet you, or whatever, and they said, she produces Dancing with the Stars. And I said, oh, my God, I love that show. I want to be on it. And she was like, are you serious? You really do? And I said, yeah. Then I turned up pregnant. I don't know how that happened.
You turned up. Yeah, that's how you know you're from a farm in rural America. That's what we would say.
I turned up pregnant.
Yeah, I turned up pregnant.
Yeah, and so it had to wait. And so right after Audrey was born, I started, like, getting back in shape.
Had you ever danced before, though? Like, with any sort of, I want to say training, but any sort of lessons or, like, fun? Like, you're actually learning how to do a little ballroom?
No.
Yeah.
No, absolutely not. And I'm a great, like, two-stepper. I'm great at country dancing, but no.
And you're an athlete, though.
And I'm an athlete.
Yeah.
And so athletics and music and dancing, they all kind of go hand in hand. And because it's that part of your brain that says, tell your legs to do this and they do it, where I don't know what part of that brain is, but, or tell your voice to do this and it does it. So that helped, but it was so hard because I was the only mom on the show and I didn't want to rehearse more than like 6 hours. After like 6 hours, I would be like, I gotta get back to the kids, you know? And I have a baby. I had two kids in diapers.
Mm.
So that part of it was extremely difficult, although I learned a great work ethic from being a farmer. Excuse me. And so then all the stuff started happening with my ex, and he started acting insane and, like, coming down from Oregon. We were separated. He kept coming down, and he wanted to, you know, be on the show every week, and so he could be seen in the audience, and kept trying to take the kids back to Oregon, you know. And
that's very distracting. Well,
yeah,
I mean, it sucks as a life thing, but also you're trying to do this new endeavor.
Yes,
it's hard to focus on anything when something like that is happening.
Yes, I remember laying in bed and just going, okay, if I can walk through the whole dance, in my head, then I've got it. You know, like, I don't know how you.
I just prayed and cried.
Yeah. It was.
I never had it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing that helped me was as soon as we walked out and it was the live audience, that made me come alive because I'm so used to that.
Yeah. It made me pee in my pants.
Yeah.
Just a little, though. Yeah.
It was very hard. I mean, I was crying all the time and it was just like, there couldn't have been a worse time for me to do Dancing with the Stars.
That's what I hear. That sucks that you're doing that, yet the distraction is so mad. It's not even distraction like a hurt toe. It's like your kids. It's like your real life.
Yeah.
And you're dealing with that as you're trying this new thing. You're being very vulnerable in a new area.
You feel stupid. Yeah. Like,
I mean, I did, and I wasn't even dealing with what you were dealing with at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So who was your partner?
Tony Dombolani.
And how did you guys get along?
We did, and we still are friends. But he was very mean, you know, because he's...
Is he foreign?
Yeah. He's from Albania.
So that's... their baseline for mean is not ours.
Exactly.
Yeah, to him, he's normal. But they learn in such a, like, demanding way.
Right.
European, yeah.
Yeah, we're so coddled in America. And we're so
crazy.
Spoiled here. It's, you know, we've got it so good, and they've... You know, yeah, it's like a sport there, and they have to do it, and it's considered to be very manly.
Yeah.
And so he would get real, you know, loud and aggressive. And probably if I wasn't going through what I was going through, I might not have been quite so sensitive. But he triggered me a lot, you know, because my first husband was...
Yeah, it just sounds like an unperfect storm. Or
yeah.
A perfect storm for what you were going through, meet somebody else whose just general sensibilities, it's just not the perfect time for you to do that with that person.
Right.
Not that he did anything wrong, because that's just how he got. But
right.
Yeah. But yes, it is a very tough. And
it's hard. You feel really dumb because you don't, like, yeah. you're
an infant again.
Yeah.
And a toddler. And you're being talked down to. Even if they're not talking mean to you, you feel like you're being talked down to because they've got to explain it like you're a freaking kid.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is what you do. It would be like me getting mad at somebody if they couldn't sing great. Like, well, that's not fair because I'm not a
right.
natural dancer, you know.
How many weeks did you do the show? Were you on the show?
I was on, I think, 6 weeks.
That's a long time.
I was going to win.
You think so?
I was.
Before you had to leave?
We have inside information that says I was winning.
Would it
was going to win.
Would it be for you? I could give you this gift. You can hold my mirror ball and act like you won. Wouldn't that be fun?
No, I don't even want to see it.
Will you open that curtain right there, Mike?
No, I'll just fall over in my chair again.
No, just look. Just look.
She said she didn't want to see it.
It's right there. That could have been you.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That is beautiful.
It is.
It's savage.
Congratulations.
Could have been. Oh, it was really hard.
Who is your partner?
Sharna. Red hair. Demanding.
Yeah.
I felt like an idiot. And a lot of that was me. And I always feel like I'm not worthy anyway. Like, that's my big therapy thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put me in that situation where I'm not worthy and I got to figure it out.
So embarrassing.
It was the most difficult thing.
Yeah.
Professionally that I've ever had to do.
I agree with you 100%.
And
so
I never got good. I was not good. I just found a different way. Like I connected with people so much, but then trained so hard that if I could just stay middle to lower, like 2/3.
Right.
I felt like I could, by being extremely honest with vulnerabilities and, hey, I suck at this and I know it, but I'm trying as hard as I can.
Yeah.
Like that connect, and I won. And it was crazy. And
yeah.
It was crazy. It was all, and I mean, they were there. Amy was there. It was just wild. When they were like, you won. I was like, what?
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was really cool. It's not even about the dance show to me. It's about how
that
it
you
made
overcame.
Me feel. Yeah, how it made me feel the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Not Sharna, but the situation.
Yeah.
And that I was able to just go, I have to be coached.
Yeah.
And I have to get over myself for a minute. And somehow realize that my trauma is making me feel this way.
Yes.
Not her or this.
You're so right, because I could say the same about Tony. That was, I have a thing with men, you know? And so, like, when he was mad at me or yelling at me, and also he's Muslim, so we were training during his fasting time.
So he was cranky, obviously.
So he was in the worst mood.
Yeah.
And I was like, what do I got to do to get you to eat? Like, we've got to, how do you
funny.
Feel about Jesus?
Yeah.
Because
we'll
you
convert
have
him
to
so
eat.
He can have a taco.
Yes,
yeah, no, I
yes.
felt that. Yeah.
He said, if you make a donation to our local mosque, then I can break fast. And I was like,
they got a whole wing now?
Here's my
it's
checkbook.
The Sarah Evans wing at the local mosque?
Yeah. And so he started eating, and that did help because he was in the worst mood for that time of fasting.
Well, I'm super grateful that you came over and just shared. It's not even one specific thing. It's a lot of, so thank you.
Thank you.
This has been great for me. I do want to say, first of all, go follow Sarah at Sarah Evans Music. The out today, Pride, it's out. The song is out, but the record comes out in June. Unbroke comes out June 7th. I'll just say June. No one's going to remember June 7th, but the summer. And we'll talk about it too when it comes out again.
Okay.
Just to remind everybody. And, you know, I in the podcast. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So you can go Diving Deep with Sarah Evans.
Diving In Deep. Yeah, Diving In Deep is
one of
the songs.
Is it Diving In Deep or Diving?
Diving In Deep.
Diving In Deep.
Yes.
Got it.
With Sarah Evans, because that's one of my songs on my album Words. And it's, you know, perfect because we're doing both where I will just sit and talk and tell a story, like getting hit by a car. That's my first episode is me telling the story about Jay and what happened. And then we've got special guests coming on. I don't know if I can say who they are, but like Dennis Quaid is on, Martina's on, Ernest is coming on next week. Like, so it'll be a combo of.
That's great. And you should say who's on. What's going to happen? They'll sue you. That'd be two lawsuits. That's okay. You only got two. One from me, one from Ernest.
That's true. That's not bad.
No, that's not bad.
That's not bad for a Thursday.
Yeah. And then Sarah's on the road a lot. So sarahevans.com to see the dates. You're basically in all the places that our show airs, but it's. You know, Greenville, Texas, Lakeland, Florida, Gainesville, Georgia. I'm just going to do the first few. Auburn, Alabama, Virginia, West Virginia, all over. Go watch Sarah. As you heard her say, she's the greatest singer ever. Did you say that?
I did.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I thought you did. I just wanted to make sure I said it. I wanted to make sure I repeated it the way that you said it.
Yeah.
So, seriously, thanks for sharing. Thanks for being here. It's been really great for me. I hope you don't leave here and be like, I hate that dude.
We could sit here and talk all day.
I agree. I should come whenever you're ready for me. I'll come do your podcast.
Oh, yay. Yeah, Thank you. Yeah.
Especially if we live close. That's the only reason, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I don't like, who cares? But if it's close, I can go do it and then write off my gas.
I'm gonna hold you to that. And I will give you a sturdy chair.
No, I demand having a 3-leg chair.
Okay.
So I have to battle the whole time.
Okay.
That just what you had to do.
That sounds fair.
All right. Sarah, good to see you.
You too.
Thanks for listening to a Bobbycast production.
This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk Wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, everyone. This is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.